The Prisoner by Sally Carson. Read by Stephanie Racine. England to Germany. Chapter 1. The gate was shut into the orchard. The blinds were down in the Kluger's house. It must be the heat, thought Michael. The heat, too, must make the apple trees look so shaggy and full of leaves, tired, drooping, and all the fresh spring green that he remembered weighted down under the white road dust, making them nearly as white as the moonlight, he said softly to himself. He remembered clearly how white the apple trees in the mountain and Lex's wide-open face had looked that spring evening not so long ago, only 3 months, when he had asked her to marry him. She had looked at him so sharply and said in a quick, half-angry tone, "I'd have to leave Germany. Go away from here." She had not told him then that her real reason was Moritz, that though her family did not know it, she was still as bound to him as ever. Stupid of him not to have guessed why she had looked so surprised at his question, why she had taken his arm in such a warm, friendly way as they had gone up to the door together through these same trees. He paused, listening guiltily before he knocked at the door. How surprised they would be. Frau Kluger would be in a fever because there would be no special pudding ready for him. Old Hans Kluger would grumble at the excitement a sudden arrival would cause in her temper. Erich would be amused. Helmi would be pleased to see him. And what a lot there would be to say. Lexa. He thumped impatiently on the door. The house stared back silently at him. A breath of hot wind puffed between the apple trees and blew a shower of silent dust across at him. He knocked again. Suddenly he was aware of a shrill German voice. A woman in a blue dress was calling to him over the hedge. She had to stand on tiptoe to see him. The borders of the hedge pressed into her large breasts. "Away! They've all gone! But, yes, some time ago."
"Gone?"
"Yes, they've left Cranach. The Klugers have." The last of her words was drowned in a Teutonic yell from her fat 2-year-old, who had flung himself down on the path behind her. "Where are they, then?" Michael shouted through the deafening shrieks.
"Don't know,"
came from the solid back view of the Frau, leaning to pick up her baby. She shook her head as if expostulating at the boy as much as he was at her, picked him up and disappeared into her door. Michael waited a few minutes, but she did not return. When the crying ceased, the Kluger's orchard was quieter than ever. Could it be true that they had gone? Why, they must have lived here 25 years. Surely Helmi was 24, and the Klugers had come here directly after they were married. And that was the room where he had sat and listened to Lexa playing. Fantastic modern stuff that he had hated, and yet loved her the more for being able to play. And where he had been to their Easter party, when small Peter had been sick, 12 hard-boiled eggs he had eaten. And Lexa and Elsa had sung so charmingly. Elsa, with her sharp eyes, small teeth, and ash-blonde hair, had flirted with him all the evening, though he had had no eyes for anyone but Lexa. He looked helplessly at the house. He began to wander down the road again. He met an old man and asked him about the Klugers. No, he had only just come here. He didn't know. A girl came round the corner of the square. "Kluger?" Yes, she knew the name. One of the leaders in her brother's storm troop had been called Kluger. He had fair hair, he was awfully good-looking, and she glanced approvingly at Michael. But the Kluger boy wasn't here anymore. They had moved to Munich. No, she didn't know the address. The post office would probably know it.
"You are English?"
she asked, showing her wide-apart teeth as she smiled. "But you speak such good German."